Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
More than 300,000 people have been evacuated from parts of France and Spain during the peak tourist season due to the wildfires across Europe. And you heard Eamon mention three firefighters have been killed in wildfires in Greece, trying to contain the spread of the damage there. Ciara Mooney, who's the managing director of Freedom Travel and Solo Travel, is with me here on Lunchtime Live today. Because, Ciara, you spend a lot of your time between Dublin and Spain, but Valencia in particular, which has been recently badly hit by fires.
Yes, it has indeed, Andrea. Thank God I haven't been over there now at the moment, but the heat is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. It's up in the late 30s, which is too hot to go out.
Yeah, the scenes from Valencia in recent days, Ciara, I mean, they've been pretty extraordinary to look at, and how close it is to the city centre as well.
Yeah, it's very worrying. And I think the fact that the firefighters and everything are there working around the clock in order to keep these contained is giving us a little bit of relief. But it's just, you don't know, with something like fire or floods, like, as you know, last year with the flooding, it's just Mother Nature, you're at her beck and call.
Like, there's a couple of different elements to this. You've obviously got locals living in the catchment. I mean, from our perspective, we've a lot of Irish people that have moved to the likes of France, Bordeaux in France, I should say, Valencia in Spain, Madrid mentioned earlier as well, and other parts that have been affected. And then you've got the tourist season, and you've got the hundreds of thousands of Irish people that over the last couple of weeks have been travelling to those parts. I mean, it's likely to have a massive impact on the local economy there as well.
Yeah, it is, but it's no more than I have friends now. They're actually staying in my apartment in Valencia at the moment, and I've been in constant contact with them over there. And it's like the fires aren't affecting them per se, but it's just the heat that's out there. And I think that's something that people don't realise. Like, we're after getting a taste of it now this summer ourselves in Ireland, but when you go away, it's like that, but it's more constant. Like, we've had clients coming back from Italy recently and they're saying, like, oh my God, it's so quiet over there. I'm recently back from Braga in Portugal. I was at a wedding there last week. And again, the streets during between 12, 5 and 6 o'clock in the evening, they're totally deserted because people know, the locals know to stay in because of the time of year. It's just too hot to go out and do anything. You'll also find that places are closing down. Like in August, a lot of places in Spain, like trades and everything, will close for the whole month, and people will escape up into the mountains where it's a little bit cooler, you know. But like that, it's kind of like the fires are scary when you see them.
Absolutely.
And how they're spreading so much. And then, like, when I was in Braga, you could hear the helicopters going over with the water to put out the fires.
So, like, it's not even, you know, it's the fires, the fire element is one aspect of this discussion. And yet we probably have a lot of our listeners who are travelling to Spain and France and other parts in the coming days thinking, well, I'm safe enough. There's no fires in the area we're going to. But it's the intensity of the heat, Ciara, as you say, is the big issue.
It is. And that's what I'd say. Like, it's not too bad. Like, obviously, if you're by the coast and you have that bit of a breeze, it's perfect. But if you're inland, like, you will find that the places do close down. Like, the locals have it sussed. They know when to get out of the heat of the afternoon sun. And that's when the sun is at its most dangerous. It's when it's hottest. It's when people get burned. It's like when we're not used to it and we're going over and there's sunburn, you get heat stroke and people aren't hydrating. Like, I'm the worst in the world. Like, if I'm hot, I don't drink that much water. This is when we should be hydrating and taking them precautions, staying indoors when the heat are like that. Stay in the shadows. Don't be sitting out where you'll end up getting a headache, and you're not going to have an enjoyable holiday if you're not looking after yourself.
Yeah, just finally, Ciara, on that, like, in your day job, you're obviously working as a travel agent. Have you had many people pull back and cancel planned trips now because of this? No. They're
none,
going ahead.
None, thank God. Yeah. And to be honest with you, Andrea, we are at, like, it's 24/7 with us. Like, I could get a phone call at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And as travel agents, that's what we do. If you book with the travel agents, it's day or night. We're there to help. If something happens, all they have to do is pick up the phone and we will get them home.
Yeah, texter here tells me they're just back from France. I'm never going to go to Europe during the summer period again. It was absolutely horrific, the heat, and it was terrifying. There was two kids with us. They were 8 and 6, and our nerves were gone during the break, says this listener, Ciara.
Do you know what it's as they're striking me? Last year in July, the weather wasn't that great. So you'll never know what way the weather is going to go. Like, last year, we would have never said we were going to have the summer like we have this year. So again, it's one of those things. Mother Nature doesn't run by any rule book, unfortunately. So by saying that you're never going to go to a place again because of 1 year, you could have people that visited Ireland last year that said they'd never come back because they didn't see the sun. Mm. Whereas this year it hasn't stopped shining. We've been blessed.
John Gibbons, environmental journalist, is with us here on the programme as well, because I heard Eamon mention in the news, John, you know, that some of the EU Emergency Response Coordination Centre, some of their officials warning that the continent of Europe could be on fire within days.
That's right, Andrea. I would just, if I could, pick up on a couple of things that Ciara said. She referred to Mother Nature a couple of times. Mother Nature, you know, obviously there's variability within natural climate systems, but of course Mother Nature is being overwhelmed by carbon emissions. The reason why we're now in our fourth heat wave in continental Europe this summer, fourth heat wave, is got very little to do with Mother Nature and everything to do with the fact that humans are dumping tens of billions of carbon emissions, of tons of carbon emissions, into the atmosphere. So unfortunately,
this is going to continue, John.
Yeah, not just continue, Andrea, but intensify. I mean, we're now seeing, for example, I remember going to France in 2003 and getting caught in a heat wave. And it was a remarkable event and noteworthy event because it was so rare. Now we're getting a 2003 intensity heat wave 3 and 4 times a summer. So anybody who thinks that this is natural or normal or anything to do with Mother Nature, I'm afraid.
I think it's not the point been made. But I suppose, John, just for listeners that are travelling, I mean, we were talking about it, wasn't it? Rhodes, I think, in Greece was severely affected by fires last year. We heard from travellers that were abroad. I mean, now we're, I mean, look at Bordeaux today, Valencia in Spain earlier in the week. Like, I suppose the reality of this has been laid bare for listeners, for tourists, for those travelling abroad, now more than ever, John.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And in fact, you know, I've been looking at this from a wider point of view as well, Andrea. We're seeing, you know, extreme temperatures in the southern hemisphere at the moment as well, in South America, for example. And bear in mind, it's winter in South America. We're seeing extreme temperatures topping 40 degrees centigrade across continental US. We're seeing temperatures in the mid to high 30s right across Asia and Africa. So this isn't a local or even a regional crisis. This is a global crisis. And of course, you mentioned Valencia, and it's getting hammered with heat at the moment. You cast your mind back 18 months ago, and 220 people were killed as a result of catastrophic flooding in Valencia. And of course, the flooding, droughts, heat waves and wildfires, they're all part of the same process of a superheated atmosphere that is getting more and more dangerous for humans and for animals. For example, we know, Andrea, that already hundreds of thousands of poultry have died in the most horrific conditions across France and Spain, as they literally cooked alive inside their facilities. There is nothing normal about this. And unfortunately, we're never going back to normal either. Yeah,
that's the thing about it. And I was even just looking at some of the kind of the aerial footage of the damage that's been caused by the wildfires across Europe, John. And like, you know, some of the EU officials talking about the fact that it already threatens to be a record-breaking year, you know, in terms of the area, the mass of land that has been damaged and burned because of it.
That's right. And again, all of these indicators are pointing in one direction. And of course, it's not just the land. Like 70% of the Earth's surface is water. It's the oceans. And the oceans are now at a hotter level than they've ever been in recorded human history as well. And we know that heating is penetrating down 2,000 metres in the world's oceans with all kinds of massive effects. And that the issue really is that we're just simply continuing on as if nothing is happening. And sure, look, you know, it's gotten a bit hot here, so we'll just fly somewhere else. There's no sense, Andrea, yet. People in Ireland and elsewhere, we haven't twigged that, number one, we're in the middle of an emergency, and number two, our actions are driving that emergency.
Just on that, right, and I know we've mentioned the fires quite a bit, but Kira talked about the heat and the intensity of that heat, and yeah. that's what a lot of the texters are actually getting in touch about, John, today. Like, this listener says, it feels like it's only you know, going to get worse. We were actually in the UK last month and the heat was unbearable there. It was over 30 degrees continuously. Another listener, we were staying in France in a holiday park in a mobile home and the heat was scary. We couldn't get any relief from it at all. Never again am I going to do it. And this texter tells me, with the obvious exception of the fires, I can't believe what I'm hearing about the high 30 temperatures and people giving out. What do they expect in July and August in Spain and the broader Mediterranean? It's absolutely crazy. And April, September and October, that's going to become the new time where people are going to go, are going to travel abroad. You see, that's the other side of it, John, isn't it? People are just going to alter the times now in which they do go.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we're already seeing a sort of a migration away from the high summer in terms of tourism. And but of course, that's all very well for us as tourists. We can say, well, I won't go in July, I'll go on. What about people who have to live and work these conditions?
We're expanding the season.
Well, yeah, but again, we're taking the view that this is fine. But for example, Andrea, the other thing that's happening across Europe right now is we're seeing catastrophic drops in food production. Millions of tons, I think it's 9 million tons of grain that has been lost as a result of these extreme conditions. And this is going to affect us in all kinds of ways. Obviously, it's murder for farmers having to be out dealing with this, but it's also pushing up food prices, and that's going to hit us really hard.
Just when you talk about the food and agricultural sector and all of this. I mean, the fires aren't just a feature abroad. We've been talking about them at Slievenamon and Tipperary and in parts of County Waterford in recent weeks as well. Dennis Drennan is the president of the ICMSA. Dennis, like, is there a role for farmers here at home in all of this, a more coordinated emergency response that they can take part in?
Absolutely, and good afternoon, Andrea. Absolutely. I mean, if you look at, we'll say, the major catastrophes that have happened in our country in the last 10 or 15 years, a lot of it has been snow or storms or drought or fires. Like, we can't expect our local authorities to have the amount of equipment that would be needed to deal with all those sitting, waiting in warehouses or in yards all over the country. But we have a huge range of equipment on farms that are well able to deal with all these issues. Like, if you take the snow, that, you know, roads get blocked, the whole country comes to a standstill if we get 3 inches of snow. But there's a huge amount of tillage farmers in the country with front linkage on tractors that can be used to put snow ploughs on the front of those tractors and get out and clear the roads. But we have the issue of insurance and health and safety. Like, so same thing with the wildfires and leave them on. It's mainly farmers and contractors with the tractors and slurry tankers that are drawing water up to aid the fire emergency services in putting out those fires. When we have a massive storm around the country and trees are lying across roads, it's mainly farmers that get out with tractors and loaders and loaders and things and clear the road. So we really need, there's a huge opportunity being lost where we could have a coordinated response between the local authorities, HSA and the farming community.
But is it not already happening?
It's happening, Andrea, but the problem is if I go clear a road and somebody slips on the road, who's responsible?
They're coming looking to you then, Dennis.
Yeah, this is the problem. So this is where we need a more coordinated response. And okay, there will be situations where power lines are down over a tree or a tree is down over power lines and we need expertise to come in at that point in time. But there's a huge opportunity for coordination. It's already happening, Andrea, but it's happening with the goodwill of farmers, and it's something that needs to be coordinated, that, you know, no farmer is going to be held responsible for getting out and trying to help his community. So there's a massive opportunity there that we can coordinate and save local authorities huge expense of having equipment sitting there that may or may not be needed once a year, once every 5 years. A lot of this equipment is sitting in farmers' yards and can be utilised in the case.
Who do you talk to about this, Dennis?
Well, we've put it out there several times. And we put it out when Storm Owen, or how do you pronounce it, last spring hit the country. We put it out when the last big snowstorm came. And we're still waiting for a response from, I'm not too sure if it's the Department of Environment, local government, I'm not too sure. But we're more than willing to sit down with anybody and see, can we do some coordinated response that, you know, doesn't end up with a farmer doing a goodwill gesture and trying to help out his community and his neighbours and end up being sued by it, and also to make sure that the proper health and safety procedures are put in place, but also that it's coordinated. I mean, if every county in the country had 20 snow ploughs and 20 farmers ready to go every time we got snow in the country, We clear most of the roads in the country in a matter of a couple of hours rather than, you know, one or two from the local authorities trying to do it. So there's a huge opportunity there that we really, really think that there's goodwill and equipment that's underutilised in the time of an emergency.
So given that the fires at Slievenamon have been continuing for, what, two weeks maybe at this stage, the takeaway lesson is that there needs to be, you know, greater cooperation between local farmers and counties.
Well, if you look at what's happening in Bordeaux at the moment, like Bordeaux is under threat. The wildfires in France are within 10 kilometres of Bordeaux city at the moment. And like, there's many videos going around on social media of hundreds of farmers with large equipment and this trying to put in fire breaks to protect the city. So that's the sort of equipment and goodwill that's out there. So we really need to tap into that to try and coordinate the thing. And in a lot of cases as well, Andrea, we have a lot of people saying that certain things that have been carried out for years on the likes of Slievenamon or any of the other uplands where farmers would have had controlled burning of uplands. And if you walk on Slievenamon, I was talking to a couple of people who were walking Slievenamon in the springtime, it's gone into the Wild West up there. There's furze and heather up, you know, waist high in it. And that's a complete tinderbox at the moment. Whereas if you went back 20, 30 years ago, farmers would have done controlled burning of certain patches that became a natural firebreak on the mountain. So where we want to protect our environment, like, you know, we're getting to a situation that, you know, measures that have been in place for hundreds of years by farmers managing the land, we really need to get back to that situation and they've become a natural defence against these incidents.
Listener here tells me they have a property in Spain and they're going there for over 30 years every year. It's now 40 degrees in Murcia in Spain and this year, record harvest after all of the rain in spring as well. If you want to share your story with us, drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Ciara Mooney there from Freedom Travel and Solo Travel, John Gibbons, environmental journalist, and Dennis Drennan from the ICMSA. Thanks a million for joining us on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.